Born in the pandemic era, thriving in the Zoom era, it's Resonance Rewind.
When the world is the target.
72 hours ago, a secret weapon system was detonated over Severnaya.
And the threat is real.
GoldenEye exists. A radiation surge that destroys everything with an electronic circuit.
You can still depend on one man.
I want you to find GoldenEye.
Three.
Find who took it.
Two.
And stop it.
One.
My name's Bond. James Bond.
The world's most famous secret agent is back.
We aim to please.
And this time, 007 is facing the ultimate enemy. The man who knows him best.
Hello, James.
What an unpleasant surprise.
006.
What's the matter? No pithy comeback?
He was your friend, and now he's your enemy and you will kill him.
Is the satellite in range?
Target is London.
Now, the entire world is about to be caught in the crossfire.
See you in hell, James.
You first. Kill him.
The pleasure will be all mine.
Did you check her out?
Head to toe.
Three clicks, arms the fuse. Don't say it.
The writing's on the wall.
Grow up, 007.
I think you're a sexist, misogynist dinosaur, a relic of the Cold War.
You know, James, I was always better.
Both of you, stop it.
You like boys with toys. The
trick is to quit while you're still here.
I wouldn't think of it.
Charming, sophisticated secret agent. Shaken, but not disturbed.
Get us out of here!
Bond. Only Bond. Man just won't take a hint.
You don't need the gun.
That depends on your definition of safe sex.
Why can't you just be a good boy and die?
That's one trick I've never learned.
Thank you.
reflections on the water, more than darkness in the depths. See him surface and every shadow. On the wind I feel his breath. Golden eye, I found his weakness. Golden eye, he'll do what I please. Golden eye, no time for sweetness, but a bitter kiss will bring him to his knees. Shadows as a child. You'll never know how it feels to be the one who's left behind. You'll never know the days, the nights, the tears I've cried. But now my time has come. In the crowd, other girls they gather around him. If I had him, I wouldn't let him out. Golden eye, not lace or leather. Golden chain, take him to the spot. Golden eye, I'll show him forever. It'll take forever to see what I. The shadows as a child. You'll never know how it feels to get so close and be denied. It's a gold and honey trap I got for you tonight. Revenge, it's a kiss this time.
Well, it was a 6-year gap, of course, before GoldenEye actually hit the screens after the last Timothy Dalton James Bond extravaganza. And by this stage, clearly the crew had decided to just use the names of Ian Fleming's original characters. In fact, just a couple of those names as well, because certainly the advent of Dame Judi Dench as M was a complete change for the series. Directed by Martin Campbell, of course, and written by Michael France, Jeffrey Kane and Bruce Feierstein, we're delighted to actually put the focus on GoldenEye. And let's turn first and foremost, given that, of course, one of the lead characters was born in Poland, that's Isabella Skoropko, grew up in Sweden. She played the classic role of Natalia Simonova. Let's actually keep the Eastern European influence going by going straight away to our Romanian correspondent, of course, Anna Coscanel. Anna, what did you make of GoldenEye?
Well, Alex, I knew the movie beforehand. Obviously, I don't think there's a soul on this earth that does not know it. I like it very much. I like basically every James Bond movie. So it was really good. It kept me entertained, and I actually rewatched it for this show. We just finished it in the living room, and it was really nice. I was so tired before, and I watched it, and now I have a fresh new energy with me to bring it into the show.
Which is surely what a good movie should actually do from that point of view. Let's turn to Jared Palmer. Jared, I suspect, like Annie, you've seen this one before, although it was made before you were both born.
Yeah, I have seen this movie before. I think it's one of my favourite James Bond. I'm not sure if it's my favourite because there's a lot of them that I've watched that I really like, so I'd have to reevaluate that. But I really did like this movie. I thought the story was very well developed. I really liked the idea of 006 and the betrayal, and I thought the direction and the cinematography were amazing for its time, and it still holds up. And I see a lot of inspiration, influence from GoldenEye going forward. And of course, GoldenEye itself would have a huge legacy on Bond, and of course, in the spin-off titles, because we'd get the game which came out as well, which became popular. And then, of course, you've got the remake here, which I've only played a bit of it, but not too much of it. But I think, honestly, I think GoldenEye especially did reinvent the Bond films for not only for the modern day, but for, of course, the post-Soviet Union and, of course, the 90s as well, especially since we had Brosnan, who, even though this was his first time coming into the role of James Bond, he had actually been in talks to do it beforehand, which unfortunately they all fell through due to various legal and filming schedules.
Yes, he was busy with Remington Steele, I believe, which is one of the reasons why Timothy Dalton got his chance. But so it goes. Well, let's move into Graham Harper, an award-winning director, of course. Sadly, as yet, still overlooked for taking on board a Bond movie.
Oh
But
my God.
it is fair to say, Graham, that of course you know our director Martin Campbell very well from your time spent together at the BBC. I out of interest, I mean, I did find his directorial style. Lots and lots of big close-ups, which is fine, but I did feel that he very much focused on the big close-up on a regular basis for all the characters, not just sort of specific ones. He kind of took that as a matter of course. But I do recall you had a wonderful tale about how he was very much into his action, and that was pretty much what he used to. He gathered together the crew and actually shouted "action, action, action" on a regular basis, if I recall.
He did. He was. I think his the close-ups, the idea of all the close-ups in your face, probably is from television. Maybe I don't know. Maybe because he started off as an operator, a cameraman, at ATV. So he's very visual. This is a very visual director. He knows cameras very, very well and what can be got out of it, like Spielberg. Spielberg learned from the age of 12, I think, of what he experimented with all sorts of lenses and ideas with a camera as a child, which was extraordinary. And then he gave us the benefit. And I think Martin is the same. Martin brought visuality to, especially to James Bond. When I first met him, it was on a series called Bergerac. As you said, the youngsters on this project at the moment are weren't born when we did Bergerac. But Bergerac was set on Jersey, and it was a detective series, and it was a lot of fun, a lot of action. And one day, I was working as a first on a Bergerac with another director when we were in preparation, and a phone call came through to the office to ask for me whether I could go that night out to Jersey and take over for 14 days the rest of a shoot because the first assistant had gone ill. When I got out there, I discovered why she'd gone ill because it was massive. It was a mammoth production because Martin just brought this mammoth idea to the set and the screen. But I sort of fell in love with him. I'd never seen anybody like that. A director who was very, very vocal, very loud, very in with the actors, and the crew loved him. They loved his ideas. He was mad, wonderfully mad, in thinking he could get what he dreamt of in the time we didn't have. But we actually managed to do, I think, everything he dreamed of getting in the way he wanted to for that Bergerac. And it really stands out. It was a very, very extraordinary story, brought to, by him to the screen, really fantastically visual. And that's his knowledge of camera work and what you can actually achieve. It was stunning and taught me a fantastic lesson or two of how to approach a drama, especially a film drama, and bring something really special to it.
I mean, certainly in terms of his work within the Bond area, he'd followed on from John Glen, who'd done a whole range of Bond movies and had also worked his way up through the system. This was one of two Bond movies that Martin Campbell has to date directed, because, of course, he also introduced Daniel Craig in Casino Royale, So, I mean, allowing for the fact that he was faced with introducing a new Bond, i.e. Pierce Brosnan, after people had got sort of maybe used to Timothy Dalton to a certain extent, and before that, Roger Moore, Sean Connery, and George Lazenby. How did you feel the story holds up, Graham? I mean, it is something which I certainly recall at the time, the reference to the Lience Cossacks and the way in which Britain, of historical event, effectively betrayed them, thanks to the Yalta Agreement, sent them all back to Stalin, where they were all particularly assassinated. So there was a historical element there. Plus, as Jared said, it was dealing with the aftermath of the fall of the Soviet Union. And I wonder, given the locations included St. Petersburg, whether they'd have the same opportunity currently in Putin's Russia to actually say, hey, can we do a shoot a James Bond movie over there now?
Well, he probably would if he was allowed to be in it. I don't know, and probably shoot Bond and kill him. I have to say, I think I've seen all the Bond films. I can't say I loved them all. I got a bit tired of them during. His name's gone out of my brain. Roger Moore. I found Roger Moore was. I liked him to start with. I just found it all too flip, and I found it uncool, to be honest. But not this time with this particular production. I thought Martin brought real vitality and a real it was big. It was an epic story. They're all epic. They're all extraordinary in their stunt work, unbelievable and unrealistic kind of fights and battles and 25, 30 men with submachine guns missing Bond everywhere and all the way, everywhere he runs, he manages to survive 20 or 30 people with amazing guns missing him all the time. I found that ridiculous, to be honest. I know it's lovely and everybody loves it and they want the hero to survive.
Maybe
I
they should
just
have gone to Specsavers, the villains, that's all.
felt. Anyway, he and he, when I first. When I started directing, Martin had said to me on the I was going to do the director's course, so he knew I was going to try and become a director. He said to me, "When you get your first film project, ring me and talk to me. Come and talk to me, so I can have a really good conversation with you." And when we met, so I got a Bergerac. Would you believe? 3 or 4 years into directing, I was offered Bergerac, my first film job, all on film, and. I rang him and said, "You said I could come and meet. Will you meet me? Because I'd love you to discuss with you a couple of scenes that are epic that I'm going to do." And he said, "Okay." So we met and had a conversation. At the end of the conversation and all the fantastic tips that he gave me, which I kept, I did. He said to me, he was working at the time on Edge of Darkness, not the film, but a television series version of it, the first version. And he said to me, "I've just discovered something absolutely wonderful. I'm working on an 85mm lens all the time. Most of the stuff I'm doing, even the wide shots, are on an 85mm lens. Try it sometime. You're going to love it." And I did. And I know why. And when you look at this film, he's using either an 85 or 120mm. It's all shot. That's why you're talking about all these tight shots, all the tight shots, but fantastic backgrounds, strange, blurred, out of focus, and beautiful straight, or even foreground is out of focus. There are really interesting. I found it really fascinating to watch. It's a fabulous, fabulous piece of film work, and he just kicked James Bond up the arse, basically.
And of course, we had some wonderful behind-the-scenes work. I mean, the movie is dedicated to the late Derek Meddings, of course, who cut his teeth with the Gerry Anderson series back in the 1960s, but would go on to actually do the miniatures for an awful lot of Bond movies. It's very difficult to detect any miniature work here. I mean, obviously, it's there for the Severnaya destruction and the complex from that point of view. But again, it's very cleverly interwoven into the whole piece. Graham, you mentioned there about obviously your directorial exuberance and life from that point of view. And of course, we can tease ahead to 2024 and say that in the next few weeks, we'll be discussing an episode of Robin Hood that you actually shot in Anna's Land of Romania, which of course is Peace Off. So that'll be a line we'll talk to. But let's turn back to Anna. Any favorite moments from GoldenEye that, having recently rewatched it, you think, yeah, that's the one I like?
Think it was the scene where him and Isabella met Natalia anyway. And I think it was on the train when they were on the train and they were trying to abort the train. I like that because that was the part that was, I think, maybe it's gonna sound weird, but it was, I think, the most energetic one in terms of what happens in the movie with the plot. And I don't know, that's the one I liked most, I think, where he found out about Alec and everything. But also what I liked the most in terms of characters in the show, I like the scene where again he met Natalia because she's really beautiful, really beautiful. And I think in that scene she was put in very nice lighting, and the way she was speaking and her characteristics were really nicely shown.
I thought she was going to be restricted to the one very sensible computer programmer's costume for the majority of the movie. And there was a moment where I actually thought, where did she get hold of that coat? Which we see her, of course, after she's escaped from Severnaya and she turns up in St. Petersburg, which she seems to have a coat. I suspect she might have acquired it somewhere, or maybe it was actually left over by the Huskies and other zones from that point of view.
I
But
feel
there
like
were.
that coat looks as something like from The Matrix rather than James Bond, I swear.
Interesting. It may have actually sort of prefigured the Matrix. But of course, there were lots of lovely, I thought, nice lines, which I think showed very much the sense that you were seeing a Bond woman here as opposed to a Bond girl. I mean, the response that she had, "I'm fine, thank you very much for asking." And what is it with you and with moving vehicles? Were all the kind of ways in which I think there was more inequality here. And of course, in the scene you've just referenced, Anna, without Anna's or rather showing Natalia's computer programming skills, they would not have been able to actually have tracked down the location in Cuba of the second GoldenEye. And of course, the whole sort of aspect that came across from that point of view. So it was very much the ticking clock. I mean, Graham, that ticking clock, which is much beloved of so much filmic drama, TV drama, etc., where you are up against a time sequence. Is that a technique that you like to employ when you see it in a script? Do you think, yeah, this is good. We can edge up the tension here.
You know, I did a Doctor Who, which is called 42, which has to. Oh, Jared, thank you very much. Which was a nightmare because we actually had to make it all happen within the 42 minutes as the story is told, as in the story. Yes, I like the challenge, but you do stretch it. I mean, you do stretch it. I don't know. Is it really 42 minutes? Did we really do it? Or did it really? No, I don't think it was. I think it's an hour and a half squashed into 42 minutes. It's a tough one. I've done several shows where the clock has to be shown, or the minutes are going, or the seconds are going, and it's getting nearer and nearer to the bomb going off. And it's difficult to make it plausible. But there, that's the challenge. Yeah, I enjoy it.
Jared, your favorite moment of the or moments from GoldenEye?
I would say I have three favorite moments. I think the first one was the reveal of Ak being alive, which I really did like the composition that they did there between Bond and Ak, and showing how, despite them growing up in the same agency and also being like sort of like, I would say the same, similar like Ak being the anti-Bond. I really did like how he sort of predicted everything that James had done because of them being like partners and also like working together. He knew James's every personal move. And I think I really did like the way that they positioned both of them in that scene. The other scene I did like was the ending scene, of course, when they're both fighting. And for that, I did like it how it wasn't overly done, but at the same time, it was very, it wasn't too like brutal, but at the same time, it was very entertaining to watch both of their styles of like fighting, and also to see sort of like James coming to terms with the betrayal as well. And I would say the third one is the bit with the tank scene, because I just love it when James gets that tank and goes on a rampage throughout that. And yeah, and it's also because I believe that was one of the reused ideas from what would have been the cancelled script of The Property of a Lady for Timothy Dalton if he had continued as Bond, I believe.
Yes, Natalia's line, "Do you destroy every vehicle you get into?" Bond's response, "Standard operating procedure, boys with toys," a name which is, or a concept which is put forward fairly regularly. You mentioned, Graham, that somehow some of the Roger Moore stuff had got a bit silly. I think that probably reached its zenith in arguably Octopussy and View to a Kill. But this one, we did have a couple of sort of quite amusing moments. We had, of course, Desmond Llewellyn as Q, with the classic line when Bond picks up a sandwich roll and looks at it's a gadget. Q's response, "Don't touch that, it's my lunch," which I thought works quite nicely. And of course, we also had the female M, of course, Dame Judi Dench, portraying the line who frequently commented on at the time, and often given as a reason why people still have issues with respect to the character James Bond. She views him as a sexist, misogynist dinosaur, a relic of the Cold War whose boyish charms are wasted on her. Obviously, appeals to the young woman that she sent out to evaluate Bond, etc. Of course, played by Serena Gordon in the opening sequence just outside Monaco. But what about your own favourite sequences or scenes, Graham? Any that you particularly sort of said, yeah, that worked really well?
Look, I all the action you want. If you have a big action story, it doesn't matter how great the action is and how brilliant it is. The story's got to be good. I can just about hang on to the story here. I just about understood what was going on, and in the end, you do understand something about what's going on. But you have to have good performances, and you have to have some great lines, and you have to have some great scenes that are drama telling the story. So I like the romantic moments. God, I've never seen anything so sexy in a James Bond. I mean, there were plenty of women in all the series of James Bond, but I've never seen sex scenes or the pre-sex scenes like that. I mean, where they were really eating each other before they're going to jump into bed.
And
So I quite
in
like.
the case of Miss Onatopp, actually, literally strangulating with the
Oh,
thighs, basically.
careful. But I liked all that, and so it's not fey and not kind of coy or hidden. It's right in your face, and they're going to eat each other. Blah blah blah. I loved the tank sequence. I thought it was the most this James Bond slightly better, and it was slightly more plausible, but only just. Everything is ridiculous in that. Every action piece is absolutely ridiculous. How they ever survived any part of any fight or chase or whatever. But I loved the tank. I thought the tank sequence was ridiculous and brilliant. And I loved the ending of it with the tank shooting at the train. The train's on fire. Bond gets out, and there's a collision. Oh boy, it was really excitingly done. I thought it was brilliant.
Okay, from scenes to characters, Jared, any particular characters that you'd like to throw in, or indeed any honourable mentions?
Well, I would say for me, it would have been M for me, and also X, because I think outside of Blofeld, there's not many Bond villains that stand against him in terms of popularity. But I think for X, the one reason I like him so much is because instead of like learning about Bond or sort of like observing him, he actually worked with him and sort of that sort of like partnership, so he knew him from the in and out. And I think what I liked about it is that Bond wasn't just fighting a mirror version of himself, he was sort of fighting his own brother, really, which is something I think Skyfall sort of took that idea and redeveloped for the Daniel Craig film series. And I think for me, I just really like it how he sort of uses everything he knows about Bond against him. And from what I understand about Alec, he's one of these characters who has a bit of hatred, and also like I feel as if his history was a lot different, he wouldn't be a villain. So he's more of a villain because of the past of his family and also the trauma of losing that sort of closeness, as well as having to be brought up by the same institute that betrayed them. So I think for me, he's sort of a villain of British government's own making, and I felt that's what I really like. And I would say for M, I really did like Judi Dench as M. I thought it was a very interesting dynamic that she had with Brosnan, and of course, it was so popular that they brought her back for Daniel Craig's, which for me, I think it's very interesting because, of course, we go into the 90s, the Cold War, and the Soviet Union has ended, and we sort of see this sort of like what happens next. And I think for me, it was very interesting to see their relationship compared to Craig's relationship, especially since Daniel Craig is more of, when you see him in Casino, as the starting point of his career, whereas in Bond's more of like, I wouldn't say towards the end of his career, but he's already had a good few years. So it's interesting to see the changes in that.
And as a...
was, sorry, Alex, but was Casino Royale the one that had the parkour chase? Yeah. You see, I thought that was the opening of that film was absolutely stunning, and then the rest was awful. I thought Casino Royale was pretty poor.
Perhaps that's why Martin Campbell hasn't been asked back to do my Ebor Bonds after that.
Maybe I'm sorry for Martin on that. No, but I think he was saddled with... I don't think the story is great. It failed. The comic version failed. I don't know. I just found it... to me, it's the story that fails there. But the opening sequence of that is stunning because it's human beings... doing well, all the stunts are human beings, but there's no mechanics. This is all body work and people running and chase. It's a fantastic opening sequence, which I really enjoyed and made me really want to see the rest of the film, which I felt I'd just kind of lost 2 hours of my life, really.
The villainous triumvirate, of course, as Jared's alluded to, clearly you could argue that the most evil of the three is Gottfried John's character of Colonel Urumov, who probably would actually sort of fit well with the kind of post-Yeltsin Soviet Union world of the current occupants of the leadership in terms of Russia and so on. But Famke Janssen, of course, a Netherlands-based actress who would also go on to find fame as Jean Grey in the X-Men and several other sort of classic scenarios, playing Xenia Onatopp. I think three kind of really kind of connected in a way that got away from the traditional single Bond villain who regularly was portrayed as the cliched "No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die" scenario. I think that worked. We mustn't, of course, forget Alan Cumming as Boris Grishenko, and of course the fellow radio co-host with us in many years back in the 1980s, of course, Graham Samantha Bond, who took on board the role of Miss Moneypenny.
Yes.
For the first of several outings during the Pierce Brosnan era, to be precise, four. Graham, your favourite characters?
Well, there was one that stood out, and then I was really surprised. He was a baddie in the end because he was a goodie all the way through, which was Boris. I liked Boris.
I am invincible.
I thought he was brilliant, and then how come he became a villain? I didn't get that. I didn't. I saw only he as a close, jokey, fun, sending up and winding up. I've forgotten the name of the
good girl
in Natalia. And then suddenly, at the end, he's the villain. He was part of the villainy. And I was disappointed in that. Not in him being a villain, but there was no clue to that. And then suddenly, he's actually on Alex's side and working with him and whatever. And it felt odd because he seemed to be a good guy.
To me, I felt that was foreshadowing an upcoming British Prime Minister, actually, also called Boris. I thought he was a good guy and then obviously a clear villain at the end.
Yes, that fits very well. The other character I liked was M. I'm against or opposing Jared. I thought she was terrific. I thought she was terrific in it. I loved the fact that she called him all those things and then says, I can't remember the exact words, but said,
come back alive.
Come back alive. I thought that was lovely because in the end, we all know that she had the hots for him, really. Had she been younger, she'd be in his trousers. Yeah, definitely.
Well, I'm not sure whether that would be acceptable, but who knows? Okay. And Anna, any favourite lines from yourself or indeed characters that you think you definitely want to stand with?
Oh, you've gone.
She's just muted herself. She'll be okay now.
It's my first time happening when I'm speaking when on mute in all of these years. Anyway, I think, as I said earlier, I really liked Natalia, especially compared to other characters, because she started as a simple civilian, and she basically took on the role of helping him. And I don't know, it was quite a growth, let's call it, from the beginning till the end of the movie, with helping James Bond in his plan and everything. And all this added to the fact that while doing this, she was very delicate. I don't know if you've noticed or if it's only my opinion, but she was really gracious all the time. And I think when, as a woman, you play a character in which you are supposed not exactly to fight, but to do hard work, and you manage to do it while being gracious and making it seem like delicate, I think that's really, I don't know, awesome. So I liked her a lot. I really liked her, and she had a very good chemistry with him. There were other movies where the chemistry wasn't quite there, but in this one, she as an actress in this with this James Bond, they really had chemistry.
It
She
shows.
had a scene with him where he's on a beach on his own, thinking about his life and how is he going to get out of this one or whatever. And she comes to him, and you know she's going to say, "What's wrong? How can I help you?" And she says, "Why are you boys always interested in?" But it's a very tender moment. That's what I meant about you've got to have some really good drama and good storytelling amongst all the action. Otherwise, the action is just superfluous, really. And she is, and he are magnificent in that scene. So a really nice down moment where he's allowed to just reveal a little bit of his inner self. I loved Sean Bean. I love the fact that he's got quite a broad Geordie accent in life, and yet he can play.
Yorkshire Graham. Is it? Is he?
Or
He would be very upset, given he has Sheffield United tattooed on his arm.
I'm ever so
There's no way
sorry,
he'd actually be a Geordie.
No, all right. I beg your pardon. He was married to a lady once called Melanie Hill. She's the Geordie. I do
There you
apologise,
are.
but he has a very strong northern accent,
Yeah.
and yet you don't hear it in this. I think that's. I always take my hat off to actors who keep their accents naturally, in normal life, and can put that on an act that well. I believed him to be an upper class kind of middle class, if you like, secret agent. I believed him.
006, of course. And Jared, you've also raised the notion that if Pierce Brosnan hadn't actually been appointed for this one, it could have gone to Paul McGann as the follow-on from Timothy Dalton, which I thought was interesting. Curiously, Graham, your point about the emotion, I share with you that particular scene that you've just raised as a personal favourite. I could see, Brosnan played it extremely well. I could see Timothy Dalton it playing well. I would have had more difficulty believing Roger Moore in that particular instance, because,
Quite
or
so.
indeed Sean Connery. I don't think it would have worked in that sort of instance. But
No, I agree.
again, maybe I'm just underestimating their skills. Let's talk briefly music, because this is again it features the John Barry theme, but Eric Serra does the music. The theme, of course, is by Bono and the Edge, and sung by Tina Turner. Did it work for you, Jared?
I think it did. I think for me, I haven't listened to a lot of her songs, but I think for me, GoldenEye has stood out for being, I think it's not my favorite one, but it is a popular one on the James Bond list. But I think it might have been done by another one recently, especially since No Time to Die has come out. But I think the music was very upbeat, and I really did enjoy it. I think I really did like the introduction for it as well. And I think for me, when it comes to Bond films, apart from, I think, Her Majesty's Secret Services, the songs tend to be well performed for me, because I've rarely watched a James Bond film that didn't have a bad song at least.
Indeed. Anna, what about yourself and the music? Did it work for yourself?
Yes, the music, I can't say it was quite special. It was fine, but I cannot have like an exact opinion on it. Other than it was good. It was good. It wasn't something
And
extraordinary, but it was good.
is the James Bond series popular in Romania? Is it something that actually generally people flock to go and see the latest Bond?
I think it's popular everywhere, not only in Romania, but every Eastern country. I think it's popular everywhere on the globe.
Graham, your thoughts on the music?
I liked it. I loved the Tina Turner song at the beginning. I found the dubbing. Now it could be because I took I don't know where I got my version of it from. I can't remember the site, but I put it on bookmark so that I could get to it quickly. When I played it, it kept stopping, and then gradually it caught up with itself and ran properly. But the music kept cutting out, so I can't give an honest opinion of it all. But there was some very, it was all kind of pulled back. What's it called? How do you say that? It's
underplayed.
No, not underplayed. It's stripped back. It was right. So you did have the big John Williams kind of orchestral stuff, but it also had some very, very strange electronic sounds, which actually were really interesting and were kind of deep, strange, dark tones, which really helped, as opposed to letting the music swamp the whole thing. Mm.
Eric Serra, who would also be responsible for the somewhat underplayed theme as well that we hear. Okay, time for the score out of 10. So, Anna, what score out of 10 are you going to go for GoldenEye? The anticipation.
I'm sorry. I'm muting myself because I'm coughing and then I cannot unmute. So as score, I'll give it this one, I think an 8.5 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. I would go 9 out of 10. Jared, what about yourself?
I'd give it a 9. I thought the story was really good. I thought the development and the build-up of the villain was amazing. I thought the cinematography and the visuals for it were very stunning, and it still holds up. I would also have to say I do find it funny, Sean Bean, of course, the hilarious gag now of most of the media he is in, he does die a lot. But I think for me, it didn't distract from the film too much. And I think for a Bond villain to go out that way, it's pretty epic. So I'd have to give it a 9.
Yeah, Indeed, Sean Dean die, but Bean dying not once, but twice, technically, I suppose, in this particular one. And Graham, your score?
I've got to give 10. I loved it.
Excellent. This is good stuff. I mean, yeah. I mean, would no. I think I'll go nine. I might be persuaded to go 9.5 if pushed on that basis. But
Don't be pushed.
it's not. Yeah, it's not quite a perfect Bond movie for me. But it does work very well on a number of clear areas, which is great. Next week, of course, we have part two. Yes, Graham.
Well, before you say that, what would make the complete Bond for you, and which one was it that you gave 10?
I think I gave a 10 to On Her Majesty's Secret Service because we saw the death of Diana Rigg, of course, as a role of Tracy there. And again, I thought George Lazenby in his only Bond to date brought a kind of piquancy and characteristic to the Bond character that we hadn't really seen before, and I think that
Gosh.
worked very well in terms of the basis, which Brosnan kind of came to I think in all sorts of ways, but 9.5 for me, but still pretty good nevertheless. Next week we stay with Pierce Brosnan, we stay with Bond, Graham, because we're actually into his follow-up with Tomorrow Never Dies, in which we foreshadow fake news. We have Jonathan Pryce as newspaper magnate Elliot Carver. We have Terry Hatcher as Paris Carver. We have indeed a Chinese secret agent who also connects with respect to Jimmy Bond himself. And it's Tomorrow Never Dies for the next edition of Resonance Rewind. But before we actually head into that particular sequence, we've got some more music from, of course, Eric Serra. Graham, have you enjoyed being back on Resonance Rewind?
Absolutely, I loved it.
Are you back for the next Bond then?
Oh, I can be. Yep.
This is good. Anna, clearly, what we need is Graham to direct the next Bond, whoever that might be, and then book
Rainier.
yourself in as a Bond companion from that point of view. So hopefully not one that dies in the opening sequences, but actually sees the whole thing through, which is
That
always good. And Jared, as a
is a bit
cinematographer,
unfortunate.
yeah, and graduate, would you consider working on a Bond movie, Jared?
I would if I was given the opportunity, but let me do my driving first and then from there we'll get to
There you go.
it.
To Jared Palmer, to Anna Teodora Coscanell, and to Graham Harper, huge thanks. Best wishes and get well soon to Jessica, who's a bit poorly today. Likewise, Phil Leardis wasn't able to make it round naked for this particular one. And likewise, Pamela Suman, who somehow doesn't quite like Bond, which is disappointing, really, but still, there we are. We'll find out more about that and more in the next edition. Until then, keep on resonating.
just understand me for the first time. What you feel inside, love is in your life.